Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, I like this, Joe. Let's freshen those bumps up, man. That's good. That's good. Listen to this.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
And Adam Hoge is standing by in Atlanta. Hey, Adam, somebody broke the river.
They did.
Yeah, if you look out the window here on the 18th floor and you look down, it looks like somebody broke the river. All the ice is split up into these artistic little geometrical shapes.
Little pancakes.
It looks pretty cool from inside the studio, I'm sure.
I'll tweet it out so you can see it, because you're in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. All right, so on Media Row, well, that's a whole different vibe. For people that don't get a chance to ever do that, we can talk about that. But first, how was Media Night?
It was weird like it usually is. I mean, there's clowns walking around. There's children asking questions. It's not the the most professional media environment. But there's some good storyline. I'm always trying to dig for the Bears stuff, you know, and there weren't as many angles this year. But I talked to both kickers in this Super Bowl on Sunday about Cody Parkey and some things like that. So
Corky Parkey.
Yeah. Is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah, he's Corky. Corky the kicker.
What did they say? What are they for Cody Parkey? Do they back their brethren?
Well, okay, so I'll tell you what. Steven Gostkowski is a Patriots kicker and has been a very good kicker for the Patriots over a decade now. He said he felt bad for Cody, as a human being, but as a fellow kicker, he acknowledged that professionally, it's our job to make kicks. And if you don't make the kicks, then you don't keep your job. And then I asked him about the Today Show appearance, and that's when he got a little bit squirmy. said he didn't see it, and said he didn't want to kick a fellow player while he's down.
Why not? He's a kicker.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a pun intended there or not. Greg Zuerlein for the Rams, who of course made that great field goal, he made two in that game against the Saints to get the Rams here.
Two clutch kicks, Corky.
Well, I think what we learned is just, it's not a secret. The Bears, more than anything this offseason, have to fix that position, because you have two teams here in Atlanta playing this weekend with good kickers. Not just good kickers, but great kickers. And they're just so important.
Hey, Adam, you had the ability to watch both the Rams and the Patriots play the Bears, break down the tape, get a better understanding of who they are and what kind of game they play. What did you glean from that experience of being able to see both of the Bears' opponents during the regular season and how they might approach the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it certainly helps. I mean, I find it interesting, especially on the Rams side of things, because the Bears dominated that football game. Really from start to finish, and kind of showed the blueprint for how you can slow down the Rams' offense. Now, at the same time, one of the most interesting conversations I had last night was with Zach Taylor, who's the Rams' quarterback's coach, and is somebody people should know because he's taking the Cincinnati Bengals' head coaching job after this weekend. So he's going to be the Bengals' head coach. And he told me that game at Soldier Field in early December really helped them get here. I think all of us reacted to that night, and it was a great night, and it was cold, and the Bears played so well, and Soldier Field was electric, and I think we all treated it like, hey, the Bears are arrived, they got a chance to make the Super Bowl here. Well, for the Rams side of things, they were humiliated a little bit, but it taught them not only what their weaknesses were and how they had to counter them, but how to play in a tough environment like that in tough conditions. And there's no doubt in my mind that that helped them when they were down 13-0 in New Orleans last week in a tough situation where it looked like they couldn't handle the crowd noise. They learned from it and did it. So, but in terms of schematically, Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, and I'm sure they are studying that tape very closely to see what the Bears did and how they can slow down the Rams on Sunday.
Hey, Adam, kind of away from the game, I know tomorrow is the Roger Goodell State of the NFL address, and I know there's a lot of questions of whether he'll answer questions or even...
Does he talk? I thought he was a mime.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to mention anything about that New Orleans Rams situation there. I mean, it's obviously still very top of mind for those, especially in New Orleans, about the no call. Do you think he's going to address it, and if so, is this going to lead to any rule changes?
Well, he's going to have to address it because it's going to be asked. And I'll be surprised if it's not the first question. And there will be multiple questions on it. Because it's been a bad look for the NFL to not even publicly address what is probably the worst call they've ever endured, at least in terms of the consequences.
Well, yeah, most consequential call, for sure.
Yeah, that's probably the better way to put it. They haven't said anything, and I know it's angered the players. I mean, Benjamin Watson put out a statement the other day, basically just blasting the commissioner for being silent on the issue. And then in terms of potential rule changes, the league can't ignore this. I think they're hoping publicly it goes away. It's obviously not going to, at least through the Super Bowl on Sunday. But they're going to get in their meetings in the offseason, and there's multiple meetings, and it usually leads up to the March owners' meetings where they pass rule changes, and sometimes it goes all the way to May. But they're going to talk about making pass interference reviewable, at least by coaches' challenge. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it's definitely something they have to discuss and look closer at.
And why couldn't it be for the playoffs? Because, sure, regular season games matter, and maybe somebody doesn't make the playoffs eventually. But when you lose the Super Bowl on a bad call, I know it slows down the game. I know there's a million considerations. You can't make everything something you could toss a flag on and go back and take a look at. But something so blatant as that, I don't know why it couldn't work for the playoffs.
Well, I think coaches would prefer to have it the same the whole year round. Just
who
so
cares
not feeling...
what the coaches think? We're fans.
I know, but they do get an input on this stuff.
What?
I think pass interference could be reviewable by coaches' challenge. To me, it would be very similar than challenging a spot. Very rarely do you see a spot changed. Most of the times, if there's anything close, the coaches don't even bother challenging it because it's not worth it. But there are some times where there are egregious missed spots by like a yard or two, and those are the ones that are worth challenging and will change. I think that can be the same application for pass interference.
I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but there was a call in the Kansas City game that was consequential as well. And if the rule, Adam Hoge, is the instant replay has to be absolutely clear that the call on the field was wrong.
Right.
That bounced, muffed punt, which looked from a lot of angles like it maybe just missed his hand. There was no way to prove that it missed his hand, other than the fact that he threw a little hissy. That wasn't just clear and demonstrable evidence that was. So, point being, the analysis sometimes lacks in coming up with the right call as well.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because I tweeted that out during the game because it was an emphasis this year from Al Riveron, the head of officiating, that they were going to spend more time this year focusing on the idea of not overturning calls via replay unless it was 100% obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I think they executed that this season. But then you have a major moment in one of your championship games where I 100% agree with you. It was not indisputable. I think the ball didn't touch his hand, but there was no way to prove it, mm-hmm. and they moved the goalposts in a big moment in a big game and all of a sudden overturned a call. And now it ended up not mattering because they turned the ball over a couple plays later, but that bothered me. That bothered me that all of a sudden in one of the biggest games of the season, they changed something that they had been doing all season.
The only problem, Adam, and it's a slippery slope because I've gone down the rabbit hole like many have. As people have pointed out on that particular play in the Rams-Saints game, that if you were able to do a challenge flag on a call that was not there, what about the obvious hold that the Saints left guard had on Aaron Donald in that play? What about, do you have to go through every single engagement on the field at the time to make sure there wasn't a penalty?
Well, that's what I worry about is, while I think pass interference can be challengeable, for the coaches, just how far is this going to go? Next year, are we going to be talking about all these roughing the passer calls? There's holding on every single play. There was a controversial roughing the passer call in that Chiefs-Patriots game as well, because Tom Brady got hit on the shoulder, and they called roughing the passer, and it was an awful call. So is that going to be reviewable in the future? It's just, how far are we going to take this thing? And I think the NFL can survive the pace of play issues that we see in baseball and college basketball more than any other sport because it's the NFL. But are we ever going to reach a point where it's too much? And yeah, it's possible that eventually happens down the road.
I have a fix, Adam, and I've told you this before. Robots. I think robots. That all the players, we should get human beings out of the game of football and just have robots play the game. Then we don't have flags and things.
What about
like that.
Robot players and drone referees?
Yeah, perfect.
Even better.
Well, you know, I was actually trying to find this out last night. I think Tom Brady might actually be a robot.
Uh-huh.
And Bill Belichick, too, actually.
Does he really bleed?
That means Anna DeVlantis has a robot fetish. True story.
Hey, she does.
Kind of getting away from the replay situation, has there been talk around Radio Row or even around people you've been near about the overtime rule, especially with the fact that the Chiefs with the most potent offense in the league never got to touch the ball in the overtime session against the Patriots?
That hasn't come up yet, but I do have strong feelings on this because people don't think about this. But let me ask you, why do we have a coin toss?
So it's like, not
what,
needed.
Yeah. What is the point of it?
One possession apiece, and then sudden death after that.
But I why don't you make part of home field advantage? The home team gets to choose at the start of the game and in overtime whether they want the ball or not. Baseball has built-in advantages for home teams. Mm-hmm. Hockey has it, multiple advantages for home teams.
We used to have a jump ball in basketball. There's things you change, and this is one thing that should be changed.
It shouldn't come down to a coin. And I get the argument, the Chiefs should have stopped them, and the Patriots should get credit for the fact that they put the Chiefs' defense on the field for 94 plays. I agree with that side of it, but it still shouldn't come down to a coin. The league MVP didn't touch the ball in overtime, and he at least should have gotten a possession. So either both teams should get a possession guaranteed, or let's just get rid of a coin. It's so stupid. Yeah, I don't understand why we're deciding major decisions off of a coin.
That's why I make Adam Hogue the commissioner of the National Football League immediately.
And I would love that $40 million per year salary.
He's much more well-spoken than Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell doesn't talk. How do you know if he's well-spoken?
Okay, good call.
All right, Adam Hogue, let's talk about the expense account you're running up this week in Atlanta off of Radio Row. Is any of it legitimate?
Maybe 50%.
Well, that seems like a good number. That's positive. You're going to be on other shows all day long, all week long, and we'll talk to you before the week is up.
Yeah, 1 to 2 o'clock today on WGNRadio.com. We'll have a live Sports Central show and plenty of good guests coming up today, including Ryan Leaf, who you may remember was drafted ahead of Peyton Manning controversially.
What's he doing now?
He's doing some media stuff with the Chargers and mainly has become kind of a motivational speaker because everything he's been through. I mean, he's been to jail. He's had drug problems. So we'll get into some of that with him later on.
Is his speech called Don't Do Me? Don't Do What I Did Ever?
Partially, yeah. No, I think he talks to a lot of athletes about basically that, how not to screw up.
Yeah. He had quite a life ahead of him and said goodbye to that. All right. Thank you, Adam Hogue.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
See you later.
See ya.